As we continue in worship, our scripture this morning, our second scripture, comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21, words about love. And I invite you to listen for any words that stand out for you or that you feel might be a message for all of us that you'd be willing to share. Let us listen for the word of God. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. May God bless our hearing and understanding of this scripture this morning. Now, I would invite anyone that has heard a word today, Sharon. The word love, over and over. Yes, it is a scripture about love. And a good one. Tammy. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, of all the world. Yes. Anything else? And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. We love because he first loved us. Listen to these scriptures about love. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. You know, Scrooge was in love. Oh, I forgot to put my hat back on. Oh, well. Well, at least Scrooge claimed to be in his earlier days. At one time, Scrooge even was engaged to be married. One of the scenes that the ghost of Christmas Past showed him was of himself with a lovely young woman named Belle. But she was breaking off their engagement, crying that greed had corrupted the love that used to impassion Scrooge's heart. You see, Scrooge used to know what love is, or thought he knew. But love that is not acted out is not really love, because love is a verb, an action. We all know that. But do we always act on it? Scrooge thought he loved Belle, but he gave all his time and attention to money and the pursuit of money. And soon he found himself in love with money and not his fiancée. God, on the other hand, has acted to show us what love really is. I read earlier that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. But even before that, God loved Adam and Eve, even when they chose stuff over God. God loved the Israelites and led them out of slavery in Egypt, even though they complained the whole way, built a golden calf to worship, and soon turned back to idolatry when they entered the promised land. God loved and forgave the chosen people time after time. He sent judges, then prophets, even kings when they thought that God as king was not enough. And finally, God came into our world through Jesus to show us how to love as a human, how to live in loving relationship with God and with each other, and just how far God's love would go to act on our behalf, even letting his own Son die to set us free from sin and death. Love came down at Christmas, as we heard from Christina Rossetti. So how did humanity respond when love came down at Christmas? Matt Rawl, in his book, The Redemption of Scrooge, which we've been using, points out that maybe we shouldn't be so hard on Scrooge. Just look at Jesus' disciples. The disciples sure struggled to follow Jesus. And we too struggle to follow Jesus. And then we come up with these standards of perfection in our society, like perfect love, mentioned in our scripture this morning. Fortunately, the scripture is teaching us about love and not judging our inability to measure up. First John reminds us of where love comes from God. And it reminds us that God loved us first, and we love because he first loved us. We will never love perfectly, so we should not judge Scrooge or anyone else. But we are offered perfect love through God and are called to respond by loving God back and loving our neighbor as well, as Jesus taught us. That is God's perfect loving plan for our lives, though we never quite make it perfectly. Now, how many think there is such a thing as perfect love other than God's love? This is a test. Just kidding. God loved us perfectly through Jesus over 2,000 years ago. And just 2 years later, the writer of Luke tells of King Herod sending soldiers to kill every child in Bethlehem under the age of 2. Fortunately, Joseph was warned in a dream to escape to Egypt, but the other infants and children were not so fortunate. Why not? Why not then? And why not today? The ghost of Christmas present came to Scrooge to give him glimpses of his present reality. His first vision was of a banquet room filled with signs of abundance. The holly and berries of Christmas, a roaring fire, and food stacked high on every surface in the room, the smell of turkey on the table, all representing the bounty of God. God always provides. There is always enough. But like Scrooge, we often fear that it will not be enough. As Scrooge began to travel with the ghost, he became aware of his dismal surroundings. It was a bleak picture in old England, but with a surprise. The story tells us there was nothing very cheerful in the climate of the desperate town, and yet was there an air of cheerfulness abroad. Scrooge notices that the people shoveling snow are gleeful. The produce in the shops is radiant, and the shopkeepers joyful. It's almost as if there were two stories happening at the same time. Joy and pain. Frivolity and hardship. Abundance and scarcity. But we remember Christ's light shining upon the poverty of a family who could find no room in the inn. O little town of Bethlehem, that soon would be ravaged by a fearful king, set out to destroy what he feared before it destroyed him. We remember how often over the centuries, Christianity, the church, America, institutions of power around the world have acted this out. Kill them before they kill us. How many young children in Gaza this past year? The ghost of Christmas present might show us how we still react to 9/11, 23 years ago. We anxiously watch the news 24/7. We watch for suspicious packages in empty seats. We watch high windows above crowded gatherings. Fear is the opposite of love. It is also the opposite of peace and hope and joy. So fear is the opposite of Advent, our anticipation of God's loving purposes being fulfilled on earth, in Bethlehem, in Jerusalem, in Gaza, in Ukraine, in Moscow, in Washington, D.C., in Grand Junction. Scrooge was reminded of God's love that came down to offer abundance rather than scarcity, to offer love rather than fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. God always provides enough. Enough love, enough hope. God also provides enough food, clothing, safety, community, peace, abundant joy enough for every person on earth this Christmas. This Christmas. That was Mary's Advent pronouncement. Our loving God has already blessed everyone with enough if we would just share it instead of fear a lack. We are called as individuals and as a church, if not as a nation, to make visible and tangible and real those blessings for everyone through God's love and through our actions of love made complete in Christ Jesus. Oh yes, the Greek word most often translated as perfect really means complete. Our love is made complete in Christ Jesus. Scripture says that Bethlehem was the place where God came down to earth, veiled in flesh, in order to save God's people, to transform the world from a kingdom of fear into the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom of love. Could it be that God's love will come down into the dark streets of Grand Junction this Christmas? Perhaps through you and me. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The miracle has just begun in you for the whole world. God bless us, everyone, so we can be a blessing to others. Our take-home question, how can we at First Christian Church make love more visible? How can we make love more visible? Will you pray with me? Strong and loving God, you continue to amaze us in the love that you rain down upon us, whether we deserve it or not, and mostly not. But we come trusting in you, that you welcome us in. You love us, each one of us. You accept us just the way we are, and you forgive us so that we can move on to better things, to better love, to better service, to better hope and joy and peace and love, all in the name of Jesus, your Son. We pray in his name. Amen.